bit.ly/bscotchjorts.
Hey everybody, welcome to Coffee with Butterscotch, the game dev comedy podcast of Butterscotch Shenanigans. I'm Seth and I'm tired.
I'm Adam and I am also tired.
I'm Sam, I am also sleepy.
Before we get started, we have a warning for everybody who listens.
Stop this podcast listening. Is going to be garbage.
Stop listening if you're sensitive, if you got sensitive ears, sensitive holes, you know, of your ears.
Maybe you got ear infection that reacts to cursing.
Things are going to get rambunctious and rowdy up in this podcast. Okay. You'll find out why we're all so messed up in a moment. But for now, we have some celebratory news items. The first one is that Sam flew down some stairs.
So we'll get again to why we're all disheveled momentarily, but I decided I needed to make cookies yesterday. This is related to a staircase in a moment, I swear. And I was trying to make some cookies to de-stress a little bit and realized that I left my phone in the car and I needed that to go look up the recipe that I was going to use. So I'm in my socks and I, you know, go holding my keys, go strolling out of my apartment into the back door.
I'm already picturing this scene.
And, you know, I'm pretty chipper. You know, I'm a chipper dude. So I'm just chippering along over to the staircase, get two steps down, and some sort of lubrication demon placed a puddle beneath my foot or something. And so I went.
The lube demon.
The lube demon attacked me on the third step.
He put a debuff on you.
And foot just went out and I just started falling. So I fell backward, so I wasn't going head first. And I lashed out with such tremendous force with the hand that was near the railing to grab the railing. I caught myself. So I hit some stairs, but I like kind of caught myself in mid-fall. But I also just punched the shit out of the railing to the extent that, that I just kind of like jammed slash cut open my pinky in a pretty gross way. And then I think I had shoved... I don't know, I got like what appears to be sort of like a rug burn on my forearm from that explosive maneuver to catch myself. So yeah.
How'd the railing turn out?
The railing was fine. It seemed unmoved. It was unfazed by my distress. And
well, man.
The best part was, so I actually screamed. So I was like, I just go, ow! I never...
That's a pretty weak
well,
scream.
Well, the thing is, like, I'm not impressed. Yeah, I don't tend to scream about stuff. And
So relative to your just not screaming.
Yeah. And so my fiance...
Relative to not screaming, you scream.
Yeah. I guess I can get behind that argument.
My fiance's in the other room, and she's always... Whenever she gets surprised, you'd think that she had been, like, stabbed with an ice pick or something. I mean, it's always a blood-curdling scream when she comes in and there's, like, a piece of trash on the ground or something. So this is the first time she's heard me sort of yell about something. So she thought that I had, like, died. So immediately upon me hitting the landing and then going, ow! Then she goes, oh my God, are you okay? And just comes barreling out of the room. And then I stood up and I said, of course I'm not okay. I fucking fell down the stairs. And she started, and then we both just started laughing and I went and got my keys.
I haven't fallen down stairs and I don't think I can even remember the last time.
I fall down. My stairs, I live in a 2-floor apartment and my stairs are, and my whole place is carpet. So I've slipped down my stairs a good 4 times a year. Probably.
Sometimes, Adam, I forget that you have a physical body and that you don't just exist as a voice on the internet.
Well, I mean, the question is, do I have a physical body?
You must if you've fallen down the stairs 4 times per year on average.
If the lube demon
got
you.
You can do that with other kinds of bodies.
If you're very determined.
The lube demon can only possess those with physical forms.
it's the prime weakness of the lube demon. Speaking of the lube demon,
we hit
our 3-year anniversary.
Yeah. Nice segue.
Thanks.
I'm not super sure how it's related.
I'm so tired right now. I can't even segue.
This is more like, this is, you know, another.
So, and the segue is like the podcast. Easiest thing to drive that there even is.
It is. Like those
except the president of Segway died by driving one off a cliff on accident.
This is true, which is shocking but, and amazing.
Was it on accident?
But he probably also, yeah, it was maybe
it was sabotage.
The easiest Segwitage. Segway experience ever. Slowly careening off.
I read that.
Yeah, he slurped his way off of it.
I read that. They can go pretty fast, though. I thought I was reading an Onion article when I read that, and I kept looking around trying to find
evidence that it was the Onion.
Yeah, and it was a real thing.
Yeah.
President of Segway accidentally rode a Segway off a cliff and died.
Kind of like how we're now 3 years old to Segway.
Yeah. And weird. It's our 3-year anniversary
as a studio.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Good job, guys. We haven't gotten bankrupt yet.
We haven't.
I'm only half that old, though, in studio years.
Yeah, Adam joined at the 1.5 mark. Yeah. So,
but that doesn't mean I've been here half the time now, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yep, we've surpassed the point at which Adam is now more than half as old as the studio.
You know what else is weird?
What?
Before I joined, you guys released 6 games. After I joined, we released 0.
Correlation.
What is that about?
Get out. You monster.
You're really cramping our whatever the hell we were doing.
Apparently not. Very good.
So it's sort of in celebration of our 3-year anniversary. And a birthday?
And a birthday.
And a birthday.
Birth diverser and we launched beta for Crashlands.
It was actually kind of an accident. We didn't realize it was on the same day. But I like the conclusion you're drawing here. It's nice. Keep going.
No, it was dramatically on purpose. So here's what happened.
Tell us about it.
On Saturday, so we were planning on launching beta on Friday, even though we announced that it would be ready on Monday.
We were hoping that for the first time ever, we would be ahead of schedule.
Yeah, so our plan, normally our approach is make a really aggressive launch date for a thing and then miss it by a year. That's our normal plan. Yeah. So we were like,
well, no, miss it by 2 months repeatedly.
Repeatedly miss it by 2 months until 2 years has passed. So we thought, what if we gave ourselves extra wiggle room? Instead of giving ourselves an aggressive deadline, what if we gave ourselves
a lax deadline?
What's the opposite of aggressive?
Lax.
A passive, relaxed, deadline. Chilled out, lazy boy.
Netflix deadline. And chill deadline.
A lifeline, even.
So our deadline on Monday, and that's when we said we were going to launch the beta. But really, we were going to do it on Friday and surprise everybody so they could play Crash Lands on the weekend. Friday came, and obviously we weren't prepared. So,
because that was the actual aggressive deadline.
That was the real aggressive one. So then Saturday came, and by the end of the day, we were like, hey, I think we're pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
So, and part of it was I had to do my Crashlands playthrough, which...
Yeah, that was the bottleneck, basically.
Which took a long time.
Took 40 hours in
7 hours.
In fact.
So on Saturday, we worked from like 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. So we had a 15-hour workday on Saturday. And by the end of that, we were all kind of like, I think this thing is pretty close to beta worthy. So on Sunday, we jammed in another workday and launched the beta at 7 p.m. or so. And then we worked on more stuff until 2 a.m. So that's another 15-hour workday. Then on Monday, we started getting all of our reports from all the players playing, which we will talk about in a bit. But Monday was an 8 a.m. to 3 a.m. work day. So that was 19 hours. And then Tuesday, which is today, has been another roughly 14-hour work day. So far.
Yeah.
Saturday through Tuesday, we've put in 63 hours each. Just this week... And may I remind you, it's Tuesday. We have put in 49 hours.
Yeah, I was mentioning today that this is one of the rare times where I'm super pleased to actually be on extremely hardcore steroids for my post-cancer treatment because my energy level doth not waneth.
Oh, man, spread the roids.
Yeah, give me some of those roids.
Really holding out on us over here.
No, man.
Wait, are they injected?
No, Lord, no.
They're consumable roids?
Consumables. They have a cooldown of
those are pretty easy to share, but it is illegal, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend you take these if you don't
have to. So on the podcast, we are definitely not going to share Sam's drugs.
No, but after we will. So so the reason that we've been putting in so much time is So we have 163 people have logged into Crashlands so far in the beta. It's a pretty select group, and they are all volunteers, and they are helping us polish the game up and find all the bugs and find all the problems out of the goodness of their hearts, and also because they really want to play Crashlands.
Right. It's a combination of those two things. Any given person leans, you know, one way or the other.
One way or the other. And so for us, you know, we really want to make sure that we do right by our testers. They're giving us a lot of their time, and so it's only fair that we, you know, that we meet that as well.
Yeah,
so
the problem is the ratio isn't great, right? Because
there's three of us
and 160 of them.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to put in the same amount of time, but
we're getting close.
Not quite. Yeah, not quite.
So far, since we launched the beta at 7 p.m., our testers have put in 840 hours of gameplay.
That's in a 48-hour window, right?
That's 35 days of playtime across only 163 people.
Across 2 days.
So the good news is people are playing the crap out of it, and we're going to have some more stats about that. We've had quite a few bug reports or overall just feedback and stuff. No real major problems with the game so far, except for a couple quests, which we'll hit on. So I think what we're going to kind of focus on through a lot of the podcast today is kind of talking about this beta testing process, some stuff that we've been doing, some things that maybe aren't or didn't work out the way we expected, and just kind of how things are going.
Sure. So, and why don't we start this off by telling people what we're even talking about if they haven't heard of Crashlands?
Right. So Crashlands is a development project we started 2 years ago. It was incepted when I got this cancer diagnosis because we were like, we're making mobile games and nobody cares, so let's make something that people actually care about.
Like another mobile game.
Yeah.
But a bigger one.
But enormous. So what it's turned into, it was originally concepted as essentially a blend between things like Don't Starve, Diablo, and Terraria. And it has morphed into very much its own thing, which is a massive, I guess you'd call it an open world crafting adventure. And you can tame pets, you can run around the world, there's quest givers, and there's over 40 hours of content. I guess we'll find out exactly kind of a better number for that as the beta testers go through. And it tells an epic story across three lands. So it's a really, really big game, and with the sort of easy term we've been using for it is it's kind of like a small 2D Fallout or Skyrim as far as the way it flows. So
I don't know if I would say it's a small
I guess it's got
the same amount of gameplay stuff.
We have actually had several of our testers say that it feels like it has as much content as Fallout 4.
Right. Someone's quest log was filling up, and they were like, "Oh my god, it's all like Fallout again."
People are just coming off of their Fallout binge.
As we finish up the beta, then we'll be getting into launch actually early next year. So I'm okay with saying that because it's just going to be how it is.
Things would be pretty fucking disastrous for us to not make it. Yeah. And as I say that, we decided before the podcast started we're going to try to reduce our profanity, and I just fucked it up already.
Well, I guess we just got to go now.
So I'm sorry, guys. My bad.
It's okay, though, because at the beginning we said people to stop listening if their ears are sensitive.
So no one's even listening to this anyway, so who even gives a fuck?
My assumption is that people listen to the first 10 seconds and they're like, I am easily offended. I'm going to turn this off right real quick.
Well, I hate being offended.
Let's dive a little more into the stats of this this beta.
Sure, man.
So we've gotten, with these 163 people who've been playing for 2 days, they've generated over 400 feedback reports, which are upvoted into things as well. So the total level of sort of feedback is very high, which is fantastic. And at least I think all of us we're really pleased as far as just the overall quality of the feedback has been very solid. There's a few bugs that we can't seem to hunt down. Not been getting quite clear enough sort of feedback on what the heck is happening around them. They're kind of these mystery bugs, but...
Well, they're super frustrating because we've had a lot of players report them, but none of those players can cause them to happen again on purpose.
Yeah.
And they all happen in a different circumstance.
Which is the worst kind of bug, so...
And then we can't reproduce. It's like nobody can reproduce it, but everybody sees it.
So yeah. Over the course of... I mean, so they've already done 840 hours of play, so presumably within the next week, with another doubling of that, someone will notice...
Yeah, some eventually...
Let's say this bug is super rare, and maybe it's like, as you are running around the world, once maybe every 10 hours you'll see this bug. Eh, not that big of a deal, right? Well, that means we get 84 reports of that bug,
right?
Because there's been 840 hours of gameplay, right? So it seems like a really huge deal on our end, but... It maybe it's not actually.
Yeah. Well, but it is though, because here's what's going to happen. When we release this into the wild, if enough people get the game like we're hoping, so that suddenly we have 10,000 or 100,000.
Then we have a similar guarantee of
And we have a similar guarantee of that many bug reports, then a fraction of those are going to tell us about it. And so now we're going to get a constant deluge in our emails day in and day out about this goddamn bug that we can't find.
So that's the one sort of worrisome one. But other than that, everything's been going really well. And I think one of my favorite stats from it so far is that the highest playtime, the individual with the highest playtime, has played for 22.4 hours. So they basically put in the equivalent of one of our, you know, one of these work days that we've been doing.
And remember, that's over a 48-hour period.
Yeah, so basically 50% of their life for the past 2 days has been Crash Dance.
Which is amazing.
Which is cool. So to me, that's one of those. That's sort of a validating number, because you can show somebody a game and they'll go, "Oh, looks cool," you know. But they're not going to put in 22 hours just out of out of the kindness of their heart to sort of make you feel good about yourself.
Right. Right.
That's quite the commitment.
Yeah, people, you know, you're only going to see people putting in that kind of time if they actually are having a good time.
It's kind of like how you know who your friends are when you ask if they'll help you move.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
But the other thing is you find out who your friends aren't when they ask you to help them move.
That's also true, because you're like, no, we're done now because you asked me to move.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hire somebody. Jesus.
But also, on top of that, that's true. Yeah.
This relationship's
over. You find out who your
friends
aren't when they ask you to move. Mm-hmm. So also, the top 10 players in terms of playtime have put in over 14 hours
each.
So still pretty good, which brings us at a 5.2-hour average. So 2.5 hours a day or so, 2.6 hours a day per
person. Which is really amazing. Yeah. And it also tells me that we did a good job of selecting our test. Because we had 1,100 people applied for beta testing. We selected 150. We brought in some others from other sources, but we selected 150 based on how active they've been in Butterscotch Games and in the Butterscotch community through our forums and stuff. So that seemed to pay off pretty well, actually, as a strategy for selecting people. Everyone's been very active. We've had a lot of fun just chatting with the testers in our forums and in our chat client and stuff. It's been really entertaining.
And we've only had one accidental, and it was an accident, breach of the NDA, which we found yesterday.
Yeah. I felt bad for that guy.
Yeah,
well, I know, I did too.
He was apparently just had been sort of trying out streaming, and he thought he was basically just practicing. I didn't realize that because of all of Google's sort of automated stuff, it was directly uploading and posting his videos on YouTube.
Yeah. So yeah. They were short. Views. It was only a little bit of playtime. There were no spoilers. So it was
like
a big
10
deal.
Minutes.
Yeah, it was no big deal, but of course it was in violation of our NDA, and we just can't let that happen. And so I had to kindly ask, you know, hey, sorry, but could you please take that down?
Yep.
And he did immediately, so thanks, guy. And sorry we had to do that to you.
Adam, why don't you take us through some of these more intense stats?
Sure, like, man.
The specifics of things that people have managed to accomplish in this short two-day window / 840 hours of playtime.
Yeah, so we collect stats on just what happens when people are playing the game, which we do for fun. So Butterscotch ID, for anybody listening who's not in it in other games, collects game stats so you can then have leaderboards with your friends. So that means we have them for everybody. We can just kind of see what the population of people are doing. So I just summed up across all of our players a bunch of values just to kind of get an idea of what the whole population of testers have accomplished in the last 48 hours. So here we go.
Hit us.
Do it.
The number of creatures murdered mercilessly.
Very important.
Is 21,800.
What? That's a lot.
Oh, it's worth noting, Seth and I actually don't know what these numbers are yet. So
yeah, we haven't realized. I wanted to keep it secret. So 21,000 animals have been murdered.
Oh my God, you monsters!
Yeah, and because many of them have multiple hearts and beaks, then that adds up to just a tremendous number of organs.
Mm-hmm. That's at least, what, one heart per animal, you know, one sort of body part per animal. Actually, they, each of them drops like three things. So I guess how many total they things?
Drop, well, the little babies drop 2 to 3 things.
Well, the adults can drop we'll get there shortly. Mm,
okay.
Okay. So then resources harvested. So, of course, there are creatures you murder, and then there are resources you, you know, you collect. So you bring
like
them
trees.
Open collect the guts. Trees. What's a weird one? Sponge. What's that sponge thing that grows in the ground?
Copper sponge.
Copper. There's a copper sponge that grows in the ground, because why not? So resources harvested, 64,700.
Wow.
It's pretty
good. That's as in those chopped down? Like number of things chopped down.
That is the number of things chopped down out in the world.
We got like quite the deforesting.
So we're clearing forests. We're depleting animals in every area of the world of Crashlands.
Do we know how many tiles have been placed down? How much terraforming has gone on?
No, I did not grab that one.
Yeah, that's a trickier one to track because you can also pick tiles back up again.
Right.
So
yeah.
So then it gets messy.
Yep, but what I can tell you is how many items people have acquired. So items are acquired by killing creatures and harvesting resources. I think that's the main way, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get items and crafting stuff. Or does that count when you craft a thing? Does that count as items acquired? Okay.
Yep.
So the collecting of things going into your inventory as you play the game across all of our players in the past 48 hours is 407,000.
What?
This is why we have an infinite inventory, people.
Yeah.
163 people have collected over 400,000 items in this game.
See, this means
very industrious.
When this game goes actually on to launch, if we manage to sell, say, 10,000 units in the first week, which, you know, by God, hopefully we can do, that means, so if we're at 104 people, if they're...
Yeah, so 100 exit at least.
Yeah. If we're looking at like 4 million, no, what, 14
million? 24 million.
Items collected?
If we had 10,000 people playing in around the same amount of time,
yeah,
as these 163 have.
So okay, so people have collected. Oops, fucking airplanes always flying above my house. But anyway, so people have collected 400,000 items, which is cool. But of course, you can turn those items into stuff,
right?
So they've converted those items into 26,000 crafted things, which is pretty cool. Collectively among them all, they have died. All of our players have died 1,300 times.
that's a lot of gravestones. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually not too many. That's like less than 10 per person.
Yeah, really not bad, actually.
Which is good, yeah. Yeah.
So nice work, everybody. Maybe that means we need to make the game more difficult. Is that what that means?
Maybe.
Although, to be fair, probably the bulk of those were fighting Hugo or fighting the various bosses. Because
I'd say
Seth doubled all of their damage and their health right before we launched it for beta.
Yeah,
I have no recollection of this.
So everything was basically impossible to kill.
I would point out, so if people are playing on average for 5.2 hours, then the average number of deaths is 10. Then that means so it's like around 300 minutes. So
I don't know, man. You try to do the math. I'm drinking, and I'm confused and tired.
Yeah, like every minutes or so,
every
dies
some amount of time.
Every minute or so, a gravestone. Whatever.
Okay, well, how far have people traveled?
So that's the last stat I have.
Right.
So we're also tracking meters walked. So for those of you in the game, 1 meter, I believe, is one tile, right? That's what we're calling it.
Okay. Not quite. It's like half a tile.
Like half a tile.
Yeah.
Oh, so it corresponds to the height of Flux, right?
Right.
Flux is a meter tall.
We're assuming Flux is like 1.6 meters tall or something like that.
Okay. So Flux is like an average human height. So that's what we mean by a meter. Just, you know, whatever. It makes kind of sense.
Totally.
So across all of our players, okay, make sure I get my commas in the right place when I look at this. Okay. Meters walked, 2,256,388.
What?
So that's 2,500 kilometers.
Yep.
Pretty good.
Good job.
Pretty good. Nice work, everybody.
It's a lot of exploration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's it? No more stats?
That's all I got for you.
Less stat. Let's talk about, the last thing to get into about the beta is kind of, I thought this would be fun, is sort of our favorite moments so far, favorite feedback moments. So again, we haven't gotten to show this game to anybody for 2 years. So it's been, and of course, now we're asking people to complain about it for like 3 weeks, which is
it's pretty rough exit from the cave.
But it's to complain about it and point out everything that we need to fix. So like what we get out of this is a mountain of bug reports, and I wish it was like this instead.
Right. Know, so, but even amidst all that, there's been a few hilarious things that have happened, I guess probably because of that. So I think my favorite, I'll call it a bug, well, maybe a tremendous error on my part, is that, which I'll take responsibility for this. I think I tried to pass it off onto Adam, found out it definitely was not his fault. So,
I mean, that's always my default sort of approach.
Yeah,
well.
Pass the bank.
That's true.
Pass the buck.
It's always the web guy's fault.
And so what happened was there's a quest that involves basically hunting down the quest was originally called Legendary Facts. And you're sort of uncovering the story of the Bacon Weed Fairy, which we've talked about a few times in the podcast. And it should be sort of the first access to the first boss that you're going to run into in the game. And the Legendary Facts quest giver tells you to go due south of his current location to find old Gennarl, who's this old hermit with like no teeth.
I will point out that when I did my playthrough last week, I talked to this fellow and I was like, I'm going to do this. And I went south for a very long time, probably 20 minutes of running south. And I never seemed to find it.
So it should take, if you actually were able to just get there, it would take you probably maybe 2 or 3 minutes of walking max.
Yeah.
Not very long. And it's also the outpost itself that old Gennarl lives in is literally a massive skull drawn on the map with lanterns surrounding it. So it's very hard to miss, actually, if you're able to walk by.
If you go in the right direction.
And so we had a few of our testers had hit this point and apparently have been just searching for this thing for literally hours. So 2 to 3 hours for a few of these guys and gals. And as they voice this, where... Sam, where's the Bacon Weed Fairy located, you piece of trash? And so I went through and I was like, it's just due south. You just got to go south.
He said it's due south, guys.
So just go south. And so they started sending screenshots of their maps where they had clearly gone in a perfectly straight line due south.
Very south.
Extremely south. And and I was like, so I was looking at the map and I was trying to find, that outline of that skull because I was like, maybe, they kind of somehow missed it or something weird happened. Couldn't find it, and I was like, that's just so weird. And then had this tickle in my memory of an afternoon where the Bacon Weed Fairy was the first longer chain quest series that was made besides the mainline story. And so the experiment that was done actually while I was building that was using reference points to get a player to go from basically point A to point B to point C in a way that made sense. And the way I had done it was dumb because I had essentially not actually used the original quest giver as the outpost that you're supposed to go south of. What I had done was I'd put that quest giver directly south of your ship originally, and then also put old Gennaro's outpost way far south of that. So that while he
says, which is the place you're trying to go.
Right. So that it used to be accurate that he said, just go super far south of here. But the reality was the south of here was actually south of the ship. Which
was south of somewhere else,
miles west of the place where people were digging for. And so I dug this up and found it, and then had to sort of eat crow to our lovely testers who found that for us because I felt terrible about it. And then this happened again this afternoon with the beacon cluster, where I accidentally just told people to go the wrong direction.
instead of east,
go northwest. It turns out it's northeast.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
But this did result in something cool. So we had a suggestion from this ended up just being a common problem. Seth actually kind of noticed it on his playthrough, but since he wasn't really doing side quests, he never really like he didn't get it didn't break his game experience because he didn't give it the opportunity to.
Right.
But we had enough of complaints about this that we realized we're like, well, this thing is this concept of saying go this direction. That's where an interesting thing is. Was just terrible. It was broken because the game is too big. So like,
well, no, I want to point out it's because it's 2D.
Right. Yeah. You can easily walk by a thing and not know you've done it.
If you're playing a 3D game and somebody's like, "Oh, go off to this village. It's to the west." That's my medieval man voice.
Pretty good. I like it.
So you go west and you just kind of look outward toward the horizon and you're like, oh, I see the shape of a village.
Yeah, as long as the draw distance is good enough, then you can see it. Yeah.
So you just go there. But on a 2D game that's top down, all you can see is your immediate surroundings.
Especially
if you're on a phone, into it.
Right.
Yeah, if you're on a phone, you have a very small field of view. And if you don't bump right into that thing that you're trying to find, you just don't find it.
Yep.
So you have to comb the area like a lawnmower and just kind of sweep around, you know, trying to uncover.
Well, this also meant that all the directions in the game are actually just the pure 8 cardinal directions because we couldn't, there was no variation allowed.
Yeah, we knew that was a problem. And so that meant we couldn't do fun, creative things when we sent you off directions. We had to basically keep you on a very clear.
It's either due west, north, east, or south because reasons always.
Yeah. But we ended up being able to, we had a good suggestion from somebody who, after a whole bunch of people were like, this is not good. This is breaking, this is breaking the experience. Then somebody suggested doing something which you see in things like Borderlands and really a lot of other games, actually, when they want to give you a waypoint, but don't want to tell you exactly where a thing is. And for us, that was basically the problem. We didn't want, it's the same with our questing system or anything else. We don't want to give a person a checklist and say, go make sure these checks get ticked, right?
We want to keep it firmly rooted in a sense of adventure and exploration.
Yeah, and it's a story and an exploration. So we want to give you dialogue and have you parse out of it what it is you're supposed to do. And we made it easy, right? But not so easy that it becomes a checkbox. And it's the same deal with going out and finding a thing. We want, I mean, sure, a lot of times we say it's right there and we put a point on your map. But a lot of times we want you to have to go explore and discover it. And it just turned out that just is so hard in a 2D environment for the reasons that we've already talked about. But somebody sitting just reminded us of the fact that we could put a search window somewhere, right? So we could say it's somewhere over there and then kind of circle a region of the map where it's guaranteed to be in that region, but you just don't know where.
So then you have a finite search area. Instead of just go far in one direction and you just infinitely walk forever until you die.
Right.
Don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Which is great. That's one of the biggest changes, actually. Probably going to be one of the biggest changes, I would guess, from the beta.
Yeah, that'll probably change the experience the most. Yeah.
So thanks, guys. It's fantastic feedback.
And I was trying to remember who it was that suggested that. It happened like in the wee hours of yesterday morning or something. And like so much has happened since then that I just can't remember who it was. But whoever you are,
thank you. Nice
fucking work.
And the last one I want to talk about is death. So again, people, you're going to die a lot in this game. So we have had some interesting conversations with people today where they're like, it's cool because the art style of the game is such that you're not intimidated. Like things look sort of fun by default. And there's a level of challenge hidden in the combat system because you're going to get murdered also a lot. And so there's this interesting tension there that they said it was actually really, really sort of fun to slowly uncover how challenging the game was. But in the process of you know, slowly uncovering that and learning how the combat works, people are going to die.
People are going to die.
You're going to take
the real world.
Well, I mean, that's also going to happen. Time passes. But, you know, you're going to take stray hits from time to time. And the creatures are designed to be extremely punishing when you take a stray hit. And so because of the fact that you can actually theoretically not take any damage for your entire playthrough of Crashlands because of how the telegraph system works. So
Theoretically.
Not going to happen, but theoretically. So one of the notes we got, though, and I believe this was the quote comes from C. Bigsby, one of our testers, who said, "A tedious task does not a fitting punishment make." Which I thought was very well put.
Well, so what is the tedious task?
The tedious task is this. When you die, currently, when you die in the game, about all of your stuff, all of the stuff that you've collected in the last short while, about 20 items, will pop out of your body. And this is to punish you for dying, right? So it's just a little one. But then not punish you so much that you don't, your stuff doesn't disappear. You don't lose armor or anything. You just have to walk back and pick up your stuff. If you want to. The tedious part is the fact that you have to pick up each one of those things one by one, which is the only time in the game that things don't actually just automatically hoover vacuum into your body. And the point that Bigsby was making was just the fact that this is not like the punishment's already being delivered in the form of losing your stuff and needing to go back. And that's actually like an interesting and fun thing people were enjoying. And like it drops.
I want to real quickly though, defend why it is the way it currently is, or not necessarily defend, but explain.
Sure. Yeah. Let's back it up to two years ago.
For us, the punishment it was not in the original concept of death, where you would die and you would drop a few items. The punishment was not having to go pick them up one by one. The punishment was having to go get them.
Yeah.
Because the way that you acquired every single item in the game used to be one by one.
Yeah, so, you used to have to pick up everything that you broke up out of resources.
Yeah, so the way that you collect things now is you'll chop down a tree, the logs pop out, and then they just go whoop, and they just suck right into your inventory. It used to be that the logs would fall onto the ground and you would pick them up manually, one at a time. And so because of that, that's just the way that death sort of came out, where once you have died and your things drop on the ground, they aren't sort of, you know, flagged or whatever as being auto pickupable items, and they just sit there. And so that's just – so the fact that you have to pick them up one by one is just a consequence of this system sort of evolving from a manual pickup to an auto pickup.
It's a mechanical holdover, basically.
Yeah. So our intention wasn't to punish you by making you pick things up one by one. It was just to make you go back and retrieve your stuff.
And so with all this feedback we got, somebody suggested, they're like, what if when you died, you know, all your stuff was sort of like bundled somehow, so that you still had to go back, but then you just pop it open like you would a tree or anything else. All of your goodies that you lost explode and suck back into your body, right? So bring it back into how things actually mechanically work now. And so I mean, I think immediately all of us were like, yes, we overlooked that. That sounds awesome. So it's basically going to become a gravestone pinata. So when you die, right now you get smashed by a gravestone that just drops out of the sky because video games. But soon, when you die, it will be a death chest that drops out, smashes you, your stuff's going to fly out and then suck into the chest. And then when you come back and you actually break that chest open, you know, the reverse will happen where it basically gives you
back get your stuff back, and it'll just pop right out of the chest and go right in your inventory.
That's going to be super fun. And I think my last sort of note of other things that I'm personally excited to change, is just adding a few other sort of polishing and juice things for making various interactions just a little more feisty, a little more visually interesting. So, well, I'm not gonna go into that too much, but I'm very excited to get past a few of these initial bug stage stuff, so we can start adding a little bit more of this cool content to the game.
Yeah, dang right. So yeah, beta's going well. It's exhausting. We're going to be putting in another full work day on Wednesday, and then I think
take a Thursday.
Thursday, we're just going to probably sleep.
It's Thanksgiving.
It's Thanksgiving. We're going to eat a lot and just sleep through the whole day.
And I'm driving up to Houston to visit my in-laws starting tomorrow, so I'm going to be kind of bringing down the overall level of work that's happening.
But maybe that's, you know, maybe that just needs to happen.
That's okay. We've had a dramatically too high level of work.
Our goal was to get the beta started so that people, if they did have a lot of time over the Thanksgiving break, for those people in the U.S. who get some time off and that sort of thing, we wanted to make sure that Crash Ones is out so that people could dump a bunch of time into it and give us a bunch of feedback.
Yes.
I think, of course, the problem is that we want to also be able to take some...
We want to be able to relax.
Well, I think, you know, I think we also didn't, at least I didn't actually anticipate the level of participation, I think, honestly.
It's a blessing and a curse, right?
Yeah, we were really worried. We're like, oh, you know, we were hoping that people would be able to get through the thing in like 3 or 4 weeks. And the truth of the matter is, like, someone's going to be done with it by probably Sunday, as long as things aren't broken, within a week, you know. Because of the rate of play. I mean, we've had someone put 22 hours and it took Seth 40 hours to beat it, and he kind of knew what was going on. So
yeah, basically
someone's going to be done by the end of the week. Yeah, they could be potentially. And so
we're trying to play. Yeah, we need to make sure the ending is good. We're trying to play catch up so the people who are following them.
Right. So we're actually kind of racing a few of our front testers to get stuff done. And then also, like Seth said early on, like, we really want to respect people's time. And so part of that's, like, you know, making sure that they're not playing through something that we don't need them to play through, also as far as broken shit. So,
or yeah, even worse, that they play through something that we don't consider finished or fun or, you know, or worthy of their time. You know, we don't want it to be the case that they get to the end of the game and then, you know, maybe we haven't implemented something that we thought we were going to at that point, and because we didn't think anybody was going to get there.
Although I think
the
only piece left, though, is the final boss fight. That we actually call and finish.
I guess
it's all there, but it's not climactic enough.
So Seth and I will actually be tackling that probably tomorrow afternoon.
Soon. We're gonna be climaxing super hard tomorrow
together.
But if you are a tester, if you are one of our testers and you are listening to this very strange podcast as it just began, then if you run into this trouble where like you get to a point and you just can't progress and you're way ahead of everybody else, just be aware that it's gonna take us some time to catch up.
Yeah, we're doing the best we can.
So maybe
Rocket League.
Yeah, take a break, play some Rocket League, hang out
with
some humans.
And also, bear in mind, the beta is planned to go for 4 weeks. So, you know, not a huge rush to just blaze through the whole game, 420 plays.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fact.
So, anyway, but so aside from that, so we got the beta thing going on. As far as other time-sensitive stuff, we have a t-shirt shop.
Right,
That has appeared. Which I think we talked about it last week a bit, but it's all live. We have a bit.ly link, which is bit.ly/bscotchjorts. We are not selling jorts, but
we made that bit.ly before we started this podcast, and it's been it's just been a long slog.
It was funnier to us than probably it should have been.
So go get your butterscotch jorts at bit.ly/bscotchjorts. Also, there aren't any jorts there, just t-shirts.
There's just shirts. There's hoodies, baseball shirts, t-shirts, v-necks, you know. If you need to do that kind of thing.
What else I want to say about the shirts? We should probably say they're fucking soft.
They're so great. They really are fantastic.
So soft.
We're really excited.
Yeah, I personally... I'm sampling my own product here. I'm ordering five. This is my work uniform. This is my butterscotch.
Yeah, we all wear these shirts. Like I wear mine.
I'm actually wearing one right now.
I was wearing one yesterday, the day before, but today.
Yeah, we originally, these shirts are coming from a local St. Louis company called Tiny Little Monster, and they are totally awesome. The shirts are really high quality. They're screen printed, so the colors are really vibrant and bright. And the material on the shirts is like wearing a cloud.
It's an angel hair situation.
It's like getting a chest massage from an angel. But,
so go to bit.ly/bscotchjorts.
And those are only available through December 14th. So make sure you do it now.
And also, so this shop, they're a screen printer. They do things in batches. And so... the shirts will all be printed in one batch after the sales end. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, ordering something off Amazon where you'll order it and just get it in 2 days. So once everything is done, then it'll be shipped. So So if you want your sweet Bscotch merch, and if you want to support us and throw our company on your chest piece.
It's a good looking chest piece.
And it'll become a talking piece as well, because
you'll be alarmed
who sees
how many
it will be like, what the hell is that? What the hell is Butterscotch Shenanigans? Why is your shirt so goddamn vibrant and soft?
Mm-hmm. Yes. They'll be like, I want to be in that shirt.
They'll be like, I want to be you.
I want to be you because you're wearing that shirt.
No, not beat. Be.
I want to beat. I want to beat.
Be.
Be. I'm going to beat you. All right, so now is the time in the podcast.
Let's hit
that we take questions from people. These questions come from podcast.bscotch.net, and people in there can vote up other questions. And so every podcast, we just take the top bundle of upvoted questions and do just nasty things to them.
I think we actually have our most powerful question that has ever been asked.
We have a 17 really? Voter.
17 points.
17 really? Points in the top question.
Wait, whose is it?
Mia Kitty.
Mia Kitty, congratulations.
Crushing
it. And record to be fair, crusher. It's a pretty weird question. I don't know if I understand, so...
I'm not super sure why everybody wanted us to answer this, but...
I actually haven't read any of the podcast questions because I just decided I wasn't going to...
All right. Well, I think Adam, we're gonna then require that you're the one who fires a response within moments of hearing this.
Do I have to go first? Okay.
Yeah.
Hit me.
All right. If you have, this is from Mia Kitty, 17 upvotes. If you have number one Australia fan, Mia Kitty, 17 upvotes. If you have 4 pencils and 7 apples, how many pancakes will fit on the roof?
3, obviously.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
All right, I guess that one's done.
Yeah. All right. So next question. That was just a simple. It's just a simple math.
Because I'm a PhD scientist.
Yeah. Seven apples minus four pencils equals three pancakes on the roof.
Yeah.
I don't under.
That unit conversion makes me wonder. Works very straightforwardly.
It kind of makes me wonder. Maybe Mia Kitty is going to school for something like this, and she's just sort of.
Throwing her homework
questions into our podcast, which is kind of abusive of our system.
It's against the spirit of the podcast questions.
Yeah, but anyway, it's three. So I hope you get an A.
It kind of reminds me of those word problems you got where they're like, Johnny has 26 apples and he's trying to eat them as quickly as possible.
And he's 7 feet tall, but Mary is 3 feet tall and lives in a cave.
And you're like,
which one of them is older? And then next to the description, there's a picture of a multi-ethnic group of four students all laughing together.
Mm-hmm. They're like that. Ah, this word problem is so dumb.
Yes. Yeah, I
was good old days.
In my math books, I noticed there was always a very diverse, there was always four students, and it was always the most diverse group possible. Almost to the point of being staged.
Seemed like it wasn't quite candid. Like it wasn't candid learning. Between these four extremely diverse people.
And then they were doing something like one of them was holding a ruler up to something and everybody else was laughing really like way too hard.
Yeah, they were like, we love math and measuring things.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Three pancakes. All right, next question comes from also from Mia Kitty, number one Australia fan, 12 upvotes. Wow. So some of your sense of humor is childish.
What?
That's a compliment,
Mia Kitty,
by the way.
Please.
She said. Okay. Oh, she said it's a compliment. Okay.
It's a compliment. Right, thanks. She said it's a compliment, which makes it a compliment.
That's right. It's just like when you say, I'm not racist, but.
Yeah.
So that makes, anything you say after that is
exactly what she just
did. I was going to say, that actually makes you a racist, right? Isn't that what that does? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Sam. When you declare something to not be true, it becomes not
true. So thanks for the compliment, for starters. But when you were first starting out, did you ever make a game that was just too hilariously immature to even talk about?
I will say, I'm gonna just throw something in.
Yeah, go for it.
Which is that when I joined the studio, it was one of the things that it just is the case. Like when you're three guys, three, you know, similarly aged white dudes, then you kind of end up with that kind of homogenized bro. And I don't mean bro like brother, but bro like bro culture, right? Kind of thing that can happen. And so things like penis jokes, you know, that kind of humor stuff.
They're called dick jokes,
actually. Dick jokes. I'm trying to be technical about it to make it less
trying to
childish.
Be medical. Trying to be medical about it.
But so we'll take dick jokes, right?
They're called penis yolks.
Penis yolks.
It's an Icelandic.
So it turned out like if so the like little one off things, like little phrases and the juice text, what are the things that pop off when you like attack things and all that kind of stuff. There were some of them in there. I just noticed when I joined the studio and started digging through this stuff that were like definitely things like dick jokes and that kind of stuff. Well, and even in Crashlands, when we were conceiving a whole bunch of stuff at the beginning about what the story would be like and that kind of stuff, there was a bunch of that in there because we were still kind of echo chambering that kind of stuff.
I think we've grown up, you know, culturally a lot in the last.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly,
we've been growing up as this has been happening, and so it's been going away.
I mean, there used to be, we had a problem in Quadrupus. We said that I sat down and you know, all the weapons and enemies in Quadrupus have randomized names. Okay.
Yes.
And there's the way that works is there's basically three big data banks of words that we just sat down and we're kind of giggling and just, you know, keyboarding these things in. And some of them were close enough to dirty or to something bad.
Or offensive in some way.
Or close enough to, not necessarily by itself. There were a few of them that by themselves were, but like, not necessarily by themselves, but in combination with certain other ones could suddenly get extremely slippery. And so no one ever actually complained about it because I think everybody understood that it was a randomized bank, and so no one ever sort of directly placed blame on us. But I think that was probably the closest we've gotten to sort of making a huge mistake you know, publicly.
It's one of those things that when you fuck up in that way, when you say something racist or sexist or any other kind of offensive thing, even if it's like an accident because you mix two words together with a random number generator, right? But especially if it's on purpose, it's one of those things that like all of a sudden you're kind of, it's game over in your public perception, right? You have to now try to figure out how to backtrack out of that. And all that kind of stuff.
I think, you know, all of us are pretty comfortable.
I think it depends. I mean, the way that I see
it
is like,
it depends on how people view you for sure.
Yeah. People need to be learning all the time. And I think we all need to recognize that, you know, like if we come back and listen to this podcast 5 or 10 years from now, there's a pretty good chance that maybe some of the things that we're talking about or the way that we're talking about some things is going to be really horrifying.
Cringeworthy.
Yeah.
Based on the fact that we've grown up and we've learned some things and we've gotten a broader perspective.
I mean, we've even mentioned this with regards to just how we ask and or how we respond to the questions that were asked. You know, if you listen to some of the initial podcasts, there's occasionally a sort of a mocking tone that comes into us when people are asking questions. And we all sort of slowly we're like, oh, that's not, you know, that's not okay.
That's not cool.
We don't need to be doing that.
I think the podcast has actually helped us because we're actually getting direct. It's really fun for us because we get direct kind of interaction with people and then get to explore things that we actually don't tend to, you know, necessarily. I mean, you know, the word question, for example, you know, we don't usually talk about pencils, apples and pancakes. So that was super deep.
Well, there's that. And there's also managing our community that's growing up around our games. Because now we have to go, you know, look at, you know, play the parent to other people who are coming in and, you know, mixing together from all ages and cultures and any kind of background you can come up with. And we have to make sure that everyone's on the same sort of like comfortable playing field where everybody's playing nice, because mm-hmm. we don't want to have one of those toxic environments.
Yeah.
And what that means is we have to be constantly thinking about it all the time. It's like, you know, what can we do to make these things better? What do we need to prevent? All that kind of stuff. And it makes it so that we have to then do the same thing ourselves.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's a grueling experience.
Yeah, and I think the important thing is just that, you know, that you own it. If you mess up, mm-hmm. just acknowledge that it was a screw up and then try to do better. You know?
I was an asshole. I'm sorry. That was not cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to do better.
You know, sometimes it takes a while to realize it too, but it's okay.
Unfortunately, it usually takes a long time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes never.
Sometimes it takes infinity.
Yeah. All right. So next question comes from Geek Dad or G33K Dad. Depending on whether you speak leet speak,
mm-hmm.
With 11
upvotes. I
think
we speak leet speak.
Yes. So this one's got 11 upvotes. All Beastgotch games are E for everyone, and my kids really enjoy them all. Will Crashlands be so full of F-bombs and doo-doo and butts that my kids will all turn into sailors overnight, or can I expect more family-friendly goodness we've come to expect?
So, which does bring us back to this issue of profanity on the podcast.
So, yeah, we've been debating whether or not actually to stop swearing on the podcast, which is also hard because we actually swear a lot.
If you sit down with one of us for lunch, your face will melt from the heat of the F-bombs.
Yeah, it wouldn't matter who you, we don't have a filter. That's dependent on who's across from us. Yeah. So
if you are a 4-year-old child and you are sitting with us at a lunch table, you're going to learn.
We will be
words.
Draping you in F-bombs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think
it's a curse.
We've been debating on this. And I'd be curious to hear if you guys want to, you know, drop a note in the forums or tweet at us what your thought would be on this, because we want this to be open enough for everyone, but we also like we enjoy the fact that we are our own sort of people who aren't sort of super polished, you know. It's
we're trying to just be ourselves on this
and
thing.
We happen to swear a lot, so it seems like a
and
thing.
And we do put a lid on it quite a bit already.
Yeah.
No, actually, we toned it down. I would actually say we have at least a 90% reduction in on the podcast compared to real life.
I think so.
So, Crashlands itself, it has a lot of bombs in it, but no F-bombs. and no butts, actually, because the quadrupus never turns around. The quadrupus...
That's true.
They're drawn with butts.
The quadrupus has a quality butt.
But the torso demon... Which is a secret that I shouldn't have said, but it does have a butt.
It does have a butt.
Does it have a butt? I saw it so, like...
You'll only see it briefly.
Yeah, I saw it so briefly. I didn't even know what had happened. All of a sudden,
firm
like...
glutes.
Yeah, something weird occurred.
Well, the interesting thing is by the time you see the torso demon, you will have been playing the game for dozens and dozens of hours, right? So
true.
Anytime something pops out of a thing that you're trying to harvest, you're just going to start hitting it. So
that's true.
You're only going to see the torso demon for a moment.
Yeah. But it was also in the bog, right? In the bog, everything is weird.
Oh, it's in the tundra.
So when that thing popped
I don't want to say. But it's in the tundra.
Oh, was it in the tundra?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
you were just so zoned in.
I guess you didn't know where you were.
But we're crash lands. So we tried to hit that. I was talking to Seth had some people over cleaning the apartment yesterday while we were working. And she asked kind of what we do. We were like, oh, we make video games. And she's like, oh, like can kids play them? And we were like, yeah. So we tried to hit that point. Like the first Shrek movie, a lot of the Pixar movies do this really well. And then something like SpongeBob, where there's things that happen that they're not technically, like, kids have no idea that
we straddle the line.
Yeah,
kids my have favorite no idea. Is Tim the Enchanter from Talfight.
He's pushing that envelope.
Right? He'd be like so the concept is he's a merchant who he sells you 5-minute buffs, basically. He enchants you for 5 minutes and gives you some kind of special capability for a price. So one of my favorite lines of his is you'll talk to him and he'll just go, you know, for the right price, I'll give you the best 5 minutes of your life.
Which, of course, if you're just reading that and you don't have any sort of those concepts.
And you're like, he gives me 5-minute buffs
for a price. That's extremely informative.
For a price.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's very descriptive.
It's a tutorial.
But if you're slightly older, you know, there's some depth there. So we tried to hit that. So hopefully nothing else, you know.
It's a dangerous game to play. And we'll admit it.
But
dangerous,
you know,
game. We're gonna go over.
We put a T rating on this thing.
Somebody recognized that I made a reference in one of the tooltips in Crashlands, which is it's some kind of like I don't think it's like a healing item or something, but it says something along the lines of, you know, once you use this, you'll feel as fresh as a summer's eve.
Oh, they got it.
Which, yeah, somebody caught that. Which that's a douche company. Summer's Eve.
The humor is extremely highbrow around here.
Yeah, it's very.
Well, there's also
we will never be accused of highbrow humor.
What are the first quests that you'll probably get in the savannah, the Uggies Meadow quests? You need to make this guy a bunch of potted bacon weed plants, and the quest is just called Uggies Pot Problem because
right. There's also a quest which I'm not even sure what it is because I haven't played it yet. But it's called, I would say, Finding the Twig and Berries. Is that the one?
Yeah, Marking the Twig and Berries, yeah.
Marking the Twig and Berries, yeah. So there's just a lot of stuff.
You know, like we're subtle, but we enjoy it.
We have fun.
Is that like, is there a spot on the map where there's like a stick and some bump berries?
It's actually, it's Carter's quest to go find the Gassic plants. Because they're twigs and berries. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, if you're worldly, you know, if you've been around, if you've heard some things, you'll get some of these jokes that
you'll have some extra jokes. Like,
you'll get all the jokes, like, oh, but okay. we're hoping you'll never be like flat out offended, and we're hoping that we never like accidentally single out a group or anything horrible like that.
Yeah, so let us know. That's not a thing we try to do.
If you see something somewhere that sounds like we're doing that, let us know because we're probably just
idiots
being idiots. So let us know that we did that, and we will fix it.
Yeah, we never want to crack jokes at someone's expense.
Yeah,
we like to joke about things, but not about
and general human stupidity.
Yes.
Yeah, people in general as a whole are pretty dumb and great to make jokes about. So, all right. So next question.
I think we should probably be our last one.
Yeah, it's probably our last one, unless we just really slam it down. Mm-hmm. You know. So this question comes from BSB333 with 10 upvotes.
And I want to say this is the guy, and I'm not 100% sure, but I want to say this is the guy who suggested we do the map thing with the exploratory.
If that was you, great job, BSB.
If it wasn't, I'm giving you credit where credit is not due.
Boom. I was going to say quit taking credit for other people's work, BSB.
Yeah.
All right, so BSB said... In Quadrupus Rampage, you're a quadrupus on a rampage. In Roid Rage, there's lots of roids and rage. In Flop Rocket, there is a flopping rocket. In Towelfight, there are fighting towels? How did its name come to be? Anything to do with the original?
Is it 100%. True that there is no towel in all of Towelfight 2?
There's not a single towel in the whole game.
Yeah.
There's no.
Yeah. There are fights. There are.
There's not even an artifact that you can find that's a towel, which would have made a lot of sense for us to do, but it just didn't occur to me until this moment.
The name of Towel Fight came from the original Towel Fight of the Gods, is what it was referred to as, and that was the game that Seth and I made at the Global Game Jam when we ended up getting hired into a studio for the first time, and I think it's still around. You could play it. It's like a 3-minute.
I think if you go to Towel Fight of the Gods, we
link to it on our blog, right? If you go to games.bscotch.net.
Yeah, games.bscotch.net. And if you scroll down, all of our jam games are listed there. And I'm pretty sure you can find it in there. And
although, when you fire it up, you will see Stas Studios and Brother as creators. Because the Butterscotch Shenanigans did not exist.
I think it didn't exist for another year after that, 6 months after that.
Yeah, about 9 months. But yeah, so the original story in Towel Fight of the Gods, which is basically only slightly modified for the purposes of Towel Fight 2, was that you're a man who is taking a shower and an interdimensional wormhole opened up and you only had time to grab a towel before you got out. So you managed to cover yourself decently. And again, we've talked about this before.
You did not manage to cover your banana arms, though.
So, yeah. So, we've mentioned this before, but all of the characters in the games, I mean, even Flux, which we'll get to, I'm sure, at some point, they're all designed around a lot of my own weaknesses being able to draw things. So, the reason the guy has a towel on is because sort of, you know, a skirt or a dress situation from an animation perspective, I don't have to animate legs once that's in there.
As long as the towel extends completely over his entire lower
exactly.
body.
Exactly. And so which it does. That was the reason why the game was called Towel Fight, was because I covered up the legs with a towel so that we wouldn't have to animate. The reason he has bananas for arms,
he had banana arms
is because I couldn't draw arms literally. And so after 45 minutes of drawing this banana shape and screaming, Seth just said, "Those look like bananas." And I said, "Well, why don't you go fuck yourself?" And he said, "No, just make them yellow.
Just put them in. Just make them yellow. Make his arms yellow. And his arms are bananas."
Does the game start? Does it say your arms are bananas? It does, right?
It says, "Welcome to the arena. Your arms have been replaced with bananas." And the best part is that nobody questioned it. Literally, we never got a video comment.
Yeah. You can just do whatever you want.
Video game logic, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was actually our solution of... Because, you know, people were going to be like, "This is funny and everything, or this is cool, but what's going on with this guy's arms?" So instead, yeah, we just had a voiceover. "Welcome to the arena. Your arms have been replaced with bananas."
And all of a sudden that was fixed.
That's the intro to the game.
Which was an important lesson, because we actually use that whenever possible. Anytime we want to do something or we need to do something, then we just state that we have done it. Mm-hmm. Like this, yes. Whatever,
because
weird
thing it is.
Because then
it goes from being a mistake to being a joke.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to own it. Just going back to our previous conversation, you just got to strut.
You got to have that. You got to have confidence.
Mm-hmm. That swagger, you know? Going. BSP.
People like confidence. I've heard. I read about that.
All right, we better get back to beta, boys.
Yeah, yeah. We're getting a bunch of messages because right before the podcast, we broke it. We sent out some patches and then broke everything. And then we're like, okay, guys, we're going to be doing this podcast for an hour, so bye. So we got to go fix that. So thanks for listening, everybody. And this has been Coffee with Butterscotch. And if you want to check out our existing games, we got a whole bunch of cool stuff for you to play. That's over at games.bscotch.net. We also have a great community at forums.bscotch.net. So come in there and say hello. And if you want to get on the podcast, you can ask questions over at podcast.bscotch.net. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.